And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea. Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Jared Weiss. He's Mo DeKeel. Danielle Lehman is producing. We're going to get this show going 280 characters at a time because that might be the only place you could do that by the time the show comes out in the morning on Friday. So, Mo, let's talk about the game that ended exactly as we thought with Nets are missing, and then, of course, Royce O'Neal tipping it for the game winner as the Nets beat the Blazers in PDX 109-107.
Yeah, I mean, first off, this was a fun game. Really, really fun stuff down the stretch. The
Nets game was fun?
Yeah, it's shocking. It's shocking. By the way, the Blazers don't play anything but close games. I think this is their ninth clutch game at
Very
this point.
Very
true. I think there's one other team that's ahead of them in that range, but that's all the Blazers do. They kind of blew it. They gave up a 14-0 run at the end of the third quarter that let the Nets right into this game. And then just down the stretch, it was pretty impressive. I was really impressed with Ben Simmons tonight. I mean, easily his best game.
Wow.
Just his best game so far. Like, watching him play tonight, I was like, okay, this is the Ben Simmons they need. In 32 minutes, 15 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 turnover, great defense. That's who they need. And that's kind of the guy they've been waiting on. And it was pretty interesting to watch it tonight.
That was great because this was his second game back, but it was really his first game playing at a high level. I mean, this was the Ben Simmons that they were looking for. It seemed like it was all transition or playmaking from the high post. And that's what you want Ben to be doing. You want him to be either flying in open space or starting with the ball close enough to the hoop that the team, like a team, can't just like sag off of him and force him to try to make play in space.
Yeah, and I think honestly, this was a promising thing to see as a Nets fan. Look, KD did his thing, man. He went completely nuts. You talked about Royce O'Neal, freaking phenomenal game from him. Not just a triple-double, but an 11-11-11 triple-double. That's insane. And the game winner.
Yeah, that is insane.
And the game winner to cap it off. But a couple of things here. KD misses a free throw down the stretch. Nets are up 3. He fouls Yusuf Nurkic underneath the basket, and Nurkic makes a crazy and one. But I'm just more like, yo, when Dame passed the ball to Nurkic and he was inside the paint, everybody needed to run away from him, but KD fouled him. Nonetheless, on the other end, why did Chauncey Billups had Simons in on the defensive play? You don't know. It should not be Anthony Simons on the defensive play. Anybody else but Simons. Go a little bit bigger, whatnot. He's the one who was guarding Royce O'Neal. O'Neal was able to charge past him as he was helping on the KD shot and get the tip in to win the game.
Yeah, okay, the thing that didn't make sense was KD knows that Nurkic likes to go to that reverse move, right? And so that's how Nurkic got the end one, was he was rolling through the lane and he bullies his way all the way under the rim to get to KD. Like you're saying, KD should just be backpedaling with his hands behind his back the entire time.
And you know what's funny is Yuta Watanabe was coming in to help and then pulled away at the end and was doing exactly what I was saying. He was going back to the corner because my first reaction when the ball went to Nurkic and he went up for the shot, I was like, yo, you need to kick that to the corner. I think that was the other thing. And I just mentioned Watanabe. He was huge tonight.
Wow.
5 of 7 from 3 with basically all his shots. He was awesome. Joe Harris. I mean, they all kind of pitched in tonight, I think, except, you know, like Seth Curry struggled a bit. Patty Mills, just a couple of minutes, but he struggled. I mean, I think it was an interesting night for the Nets, and you kind of saw some promise in what they can be.
Yeah, I mean, Seth Curry had more fouls and turnovers combined than even shot attempts. That was not pretty. It was weird seeing them not really going to one of their guards, you know, in crunch time. You're expecting one of those two guys to play like a crucial role there, but you know, it was closing out the game. You know, they had Simmons, Watanabe, and Harris. I'm wondering what their shooting spacing around Durant is going to be, considering Durant has been saying he's not quite happy with the supporting cast. They figured it out in this game, and this is a big win. But is there something you saw out of this game that you feel like could kind of like show what the future could look like for this Nets team as a winning ball club?
I mean, I hate to say it. We said it from the beginning. It all rests on Ben Simmons' shoulders. How he plays. I mean, this is the difference, you know, and it wasn't just what he did offensively. He was a menace defensively. And I thought like he did a great job on the defensive end tonight. You know, he was guarding Damian Lillard down the stretch if they weren't switching. And Dame, rough shooting night, 8 of 24 from the field, 3 of 12 from three. I mean, like he was bothered a little bit by Simmons's length. And I think it was just one of those nights where like, you know, this is what they need. Is they're going to need Ben Simmons to play like this every night, right? He doesn't need a ton of points, but he needs to do the other things. You know, 12 points is probably about where he's at, but rebounding is what they need. The 7 assists is huge. There's a plus 13 on the court. All of that matters. That's what's going to be the difference for this team. And I know they're getting Kyrie back on Sunday, but Ben Simmons is the key to this squad.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
The Clippers beat the Pistons 96-91, but the big story from this one, Kawhi is back. 24 minutes, 6 points, wasn't pretty, but at least we got to see him out there.
6 points, but you know what? Plus 26 in the plus minus. And I know, you know, like in, you know, one game box, plus minus is fluky. But I was really impressed with the fact was 5 rebounds, 4 assists, no turnovers. His shot's going to take a while, Jared. I think he's just got to get his legs back under him. Some of his shots were short. Some of it was rushed and things like that. But his defense was there tonight, man. And they didn't look great against the Pistons. They only scored 15 points in the first quarter. But, you know, like down the stretch, he had to guard Bogdanović, and I thought he did a great job defensively.
And, I mean, it was really funny. It was one of the baskets that he had was he just dribbled for like 20 seconds. The entire Pistons defense tried to take a shot at him at one point, then he just turned around into the little turnaround jumper that he shouldn't be able to hit, but of course he hits it easily. I was thinking that that was going to be the tone for the whole night, but it wasn't quite there. Did you see like a confidence or a rhythm concern for him on offense, or was he just kind of easing his way into it?
I mean, he's easing his way into it. He was trying to find his rhythm quite a bit, and I think maybe even, like I said, forced a couple of shots. But this is going to take time. You know, he's been out for a few weeks at this point. It's going to be a minute before he can kind of find that flow, and you got to get your legs under you. And I think that's an important thing, and get the confidence, especially coming back from these knee injuries, the confidence that your legs are under you and you can do the things you want to do. But he was flying around on defense, and I think usually that's something I'm looking at, you know, when guys are coming back, and I felt pretty confident with him defensively. won games and everything, but the Clippers should start to feel like maybe we can start building our team here a bit.
So they were losing most of this game, and then early fourth quarter, starters came back in. Reggie Jackson was just really playing well, and they kind of started to run away. I wouldn't say run away, but they took a nice little multi-possession lead, and they held firm.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was a sloppy night from them as a whole. You know, as a team, nobody really played outstanding. I would say, like, that run that you mentioned about Reggie Jackson. I mean, Zubac with a career-high 18 rebounds. I feel like he's just been a rebounding machine for most of the season. But I think apart from that, they were just not really there. I think they thought maybe the Pistons are just going to roll over or whatnot. And credit the Pistons. No Cade Cunningham, but still came out. Bogdanović was awesome. 26 points and just rolling. Until they put Kawhi on him, I didn't think they had an answer for him in terms of the Clippers having an answer to stop him.
Yeah, Bogdanović has had a few big scoring nights. Like, he's been a great addition to their team. He did most of his scoring in those first three quarters, then he got to the rim a few times late in the game. But Jaden Ivey is someone who has made the Pistons. He's made the Pistons really fun to watch so far. Really fun to watch, maybe a little strong.
No, but I was agreeing with you. I think you just caught my face in a weird moment.
He was, for people can't see it, he looked like he was going for a gasp there. But I can be a little too glass half full with these developing teams. But Ivy, he only shot 1 for 7. But the way he moves on the open floor, I was watching him going in transition and thinking, is John Wall on the Pistons? Or is 2016 John Wall on the Pistons? Because the way he flies in transition, his aggressiveness going up to the rim, just being active on both ends, even though the Pistons have a lot of work to do to be a cohesive team, and he has a lot of work to do to be a consistent NBA player, he is just so electrifying.
He's a fun rookie to watch. I mean, you know, you said it, 1 for 7 from 3, 8 of 21 from the field in general. He's going to be something to keep an eye on as we go through the season and things like that and progress. I love him. I loved him coming out of college. I think this is one of those guys I'm excited to watch. And, you know, it's worth keeping an eye on and seeing how the development goes and how well he can continue to attack the rim.
Let's get to our last game. The Kings' offensive stampede continues. They beat the Spurs 130 to 112. This game was tied late in the third quarter, and then they had a pretty huge lead a few minutes into the fourth quarter because Malik Monk was just going off.
I mean, this was a few games ago. It was Davis, right, coming off the bench and going completely berserk. And now it's Malik Monk, who, you know, was exceptional in this game. I think you got to just give a credit to everybody across the team for the Kings, you know. De'Aaron Fox, again, another solid type of all-star worthy type of night. 28 points, 8 assists, rolling through everything. Not the most productive night from DeMontis Sabonis, but I think, you know, just kind of his presence with his rebounding and things like that. And you know, we have to be fair to him. I mean, he did get murdered by Sohan.
I mean, it was crazy. The dunk was, it was this one of, it was like the Dwight Howard dunk contest, throwing dunk. The reason for that was that he just straight up smacked him in the face. And Sohan still threw it down.
I mean, it was a crazy play because Sohan spins off of De'Aaron Fox and then drives right down the lane. And as you said, like, Sabonis hits him clean in the face. Why weren't we reviewing this for flagrant? He got him in the face and he still just threw it down. It was an impressive dunk. That was probably the most impressive thing for the Spurs tonight as they hung in tight. They battled back, tied the game, and then they just let go of the rope in the fourth quarter. Giving up 41 points in the fourth to the Kings is going to be a conversation that Pop's going to want to have with his guys.
Yeah, their defense was in a real Vic or Vice. Is that how it's pronounced? Vice, not Victor. Yeah, and hey, we have to give our nightly shout out to Devin Vassell, who had 29 points at 11 for 19 shooting. I think he's already averaging like 20 points a game so far. So, Vassell watch continues to be on. De'Aaron Fox had a great game. You mentioned Sabonis; he only had 5 field goal attempts in this game, which is very, very fascinating. But Lyles and Mate too also had some decent play coming off the bench. Like, the Kings, they're bringing back all these fun names from a few years ago between Malik Monk, all these guys, Terrence Davis. It kind of feels like a B-side NBA team, but they're making it work. They're in the play-in. and this show is in the play-in because it's over. That's going to do it. He's Mo DeKeel. She's Danielle Lehman producing. I'm Jared Weiss. We'll see you next time on The Ding.
Ding, ding.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.